Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Lift your hands toward heaven and honor the Lord. Can you please celebrate Jesus one more time? Go ahead and give him praise. Come on, Sierra Leone, give Jesus the praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. It's truly an honor to be here in Freetown. I believe it's the set time to be here. And I believe the Lord is set to do something extraordinary in our lives and in this beautiful nation. Hallelujah. I want to honor and celebrate my friend, Pastor Idris. Thank you so much for your love for your people, for the hope that you have for your nation. You know, Pastor Idris kept reiterating the fact that God is set to visit Sierra Leone, and he kept pouring out his burden to see this nation transformed and to see the spirit of revival, the wind of revival, and the power of the Holy Ghost. He kept talking about his people. And finally, we are here trusting the Lord for an outpouring. One more time, can you celebrate Jesus for his servant? Glory, 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 glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to honor all the ministers that took out time to come. I know you have very busy schedules, but you came to share fellowship because of brotherhood and because of the hope that you have for Sierra Leone. Can we celebrate all the ministers that are here and those who traveled from far to come be part of this conference? God bless you. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Now celebrate yourself for coming. Come on! Give the Lord a shout! Hallelujah! Now lift your hands toward heaven one more time and just worship the Lord now. It's time to give all the glory to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Everything we are, everything we have, are tokens needed and necessary to glorify him. No man can be glorified apart from God. All of our glory sums up to a fragment of his glory. And so now, can we channel all the glory and all the honor to the one who truly deserves it, the King of Kings, the Monarch of the Universe, the Lord of Hosts, the I Am that I Am, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the true King over the nation of Sierra Leone. Can you celebrate Jesus? Can you celebrate Jesus? Is this how you celebrate Jesus in Freetown? Give Jesus the praise! Father Tona,
Marianda Prados, can you now burst into tongues and pray in the Holy Ghost? Perakana Sandakavira Tadadalish Perarono Saprakaite Falara Sedapaniza Marondra Kava.
We thank you. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. It's a moment. It's a moment. He said, at a certain time, the angel of the Lord stepped into the water. Paracado Saparato Setiana Manta Carida Paragosa Bracasone Paradias Paracado Savratage. They are the hungry people. Elele Venataya. Ariado, Barake, Sosa Vandali. Paracata, Paracata.
Father. Thank you, Father. I was waiting for the stirring of the waters. And now I can begin to operate. In the name of Jesus. Tonight is the first night, so I want to lay foundations. That's why I don't want to begin so high. But you see, we are functionaries. And so when we are sent with envoys. And so many times you have to align with the frequency of the Spirit to know what the Holy Ghost is doing per time. And so I was trying to receive authorization. Now we are about to make a move in the Spirit. Before I open the scriptures, there are seven guardians. Guardians. A guardian is a man that God gives authority to watch over a city. And he said there are seven guardians here that needs to be ordained.
Amen. Hey! Amen.
You don't need to shout. The Holy Ghost will find them. I had to calm down because if I go by energy, we will not be able to teach. And I won't lay foundation. And we have many days in the conference. And so, Holy Spirit, you said there are seven of them. Now help me find them. Because this is what you want to do now.
Take!
Help them quickly, help them quickly. Help them quickly. Help them quickly. Perekavano tabaka. Zareve tatikalish. Mantakibaya fradagaste fredekina. I came for such as this. Guardians, guardians with the eyes that see and utterance for legislation. Now I summon you. We align with the government of the Spirit over this nation. And so we speak forth ordinations by the Spirit of the living God, wherever they are, inside, outside, online. Take that fire now. Hey, 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 hey. Please bring them for me. Tonight I know time is a body. Time. Those with the capacity to watch over the gates. The nation has been porous. And so white beasts are coming into the heritage of God to devour. But tonight, the power for guardianship in the spirit. Paul said, I'm about to depart from you. And he said, grievous wolves shall come. And so when there is no guardian, wolves come in. And so tonight the Lord brings an ordination for guardians. 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 Men that have stature to guard over the heritage of God. Katila Sabarane Kavande Zakipara Kaladista Brede Ganish Teledo Saprikae Tatavadia Mantakapara Kadatina. I stir the waters now. I summon them by the Spirit. Aliyah. Aliyah, hey, Aliyah, hey, Aliyah, hey, Aliyah, hey, Aliyah, hey. Aliyah, hey, Aliyah,
The enemy does not fight by shouting. He fights by strategies and by mysteries. And so what God is doing is beyond emotions. He's opening men up to the scrolls of eternity so they can look upon sacred realities. The weapons with which angels fight. He's about to bring men into such ordinations where they will gain access to eternal scrolls. Scrolls that are locked in the heavens. Those are the things that give men power. The things they see and the things they hear. And so the ordination is such as men that see and hear will emerge from the borders of Sierra Leone. Thank you, Father. Strategy in the economic front, strategy in the governmental front, strategy on the pathways of ministry. Horns are being exalted in the spirit. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm about to round up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There are three special messengers that God is about to activate here tonight. This was we run the length and breadth of Sierra Leone with the message of revival. Because I see something like a blanket of fire being put upon these ones. Father, I come in the order and in the similitude of a revivalist. And so I decree everyone who is bringing into the ordination of a transformer by the Spirit of God, wherever they are, on ground, on the gallery, in the name of Jesus, step into that fire now. Ushers, help them, please, help them. Help them, ushers. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We give you glory. Have your way tonight. In Jesus' precious name. If you can, be seated. Help those that God is touching. Don't drag them. Allow them. When God is done with them, they will go. Some of them may need to stay under the cloud for a while. I will try as much as possible to keep it very calm, because angelic activities are going on. Angelic. By the time I'm rounding up, most of you will discover growths would have vanished from your body. Sicknesses will leave people. Even without prayer, it's angelic operation. But if I delve into that, it will become, we may not be able to share the word. Somewhere at the back there, there is a flame of fire. There's a flame of fire. Somewhere at the back, towards my left there, there's a flame of fire. It's a prophetic ordination. It's a flame. You can't even contain it. Take that fire by the Spirit. I'm hearing sounds in the Spirit. Sounds. Many will be screaming. They are screaming in the Spirit. Because a baptism, a fresh baptism of fire comes upon them. Elekayano Paragata. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 My God. See, most of the things happening in the natural, they are symbolic of spiritual realities. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Can you stop playing for a moment? I just want to show you something. Listen. I'm hearing the voice of intercessors in the spirit, wailers, crying for the nation of Sierra Leone. But sometimes when you say these things, it looks like talk. As I'm talking now, people will begin to cry and wail in this auditorium. That's why I told them to stop playing, so you know it's not emotion. I'm hearing the voice of intercessors and wailers, because it's a sound in the spirit. It's like an alarm. Every intercessor here now, take the power that you have been waiting for. The things you see, they have a symbolism in the spirit. They are wailers. I came with witness to stand with you at the gate, and we decree that your petitions by the Spirit are answered. We decree, we stand at the gate. We decree that the petitions are answered. No more shall the sons of the bondwoman and the aliens come into the heritage of God. We decree that they go back. They go back. They go back. The hand of the valiant one is stayed by the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. Tomorrow the Lord will be purging people. It will be a work of purging. Purging. Because there is a level of purity that is required to bring witness over a nation. That's what gives stature in the spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we are pressed for time. We are pressed for time. If you can, be seated. Be seated. There's something stirring in the spirit like a turbine. Somewhere in the course of this conference, it will explode. Somewhere. Something will explode in this city. In the course of this meeting, somewhere. It's like a turbine. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Just help them to sit down. When God is done with them, they'll find. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When the usher was overwhelmed by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to share with us briefly tonight. You can pray for me now. Just to do a brief exposition on this subject, because we'll be traveling very deep in the next 3 days. The theme of our conference is Arise, Shine. If you study that scripture, you'll be shocked to discover it didn't say arise and shine. He says, arise,
shine.
There are two different protocols, because these are spiritual strategies for discomfiting darkness. It's one thing to arise. It's another thing to shine. If these two requirements are not met, we will not have the stature to war with darkness. Because as you go down in Isaiah 60 from verse 1, you will now discover that even darkness sustains two layers. He said, darkness shall cover the earth. He said, but on the people, it's not darkness, it's gross darkness. Darkness shall cover the earth. He said, gross darkness, the people. And so, in order to deal with the powers of darkness, a generation must arise and a generation must shine. It's not enough that your light is come. In fact, it says, arise, shine, for your light is come. Because it's possible for your light to come and you don't shine. So a light can come over a generation, but because the people did not take responsibility to arise, they will not shine. And so the light will be available, but the people will be in darkness. Jesus, in John chapter 1, from verse 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word. He said, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, the same was with God in the beginning, from verse 2. He said, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He said, in him was life. And he said, the life was the light of men. He said, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. So he was giving us the qualification of Jesus. That number one, he is God. That number two, he is creator. Number three, he is life. And number four, he is the light of men. And he went forth to probe and to give us the credentials of this light. He said, because he is light, he said, he naturally shines in darkness. But light was available for 30 years and there was darkness. Because the people had not risen, neither were they ready to shine. So their light was come, but they were in darkness for 30 years. Because if you study Matthew chapter 4 verse 15, the land of Zebulun, it said the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, it said the people that sat in darkness had seen a great light. So it took them 30 years to see light. The light was walking with them, but they didn't see him for 30 years. It was after 30 years that they were able to see light. The reason is because it was after 30 years that Jesus decided to rise and to shine. Meanwhile, the reason Jesus operates the way he operates is to reveal to man the outcome of humanity, because he was the pattern man. So the life of Jesus is a definition of what man represents. It's a definition of the things that happen to men, and it's a definition of how men ought to live. So if men don't rise, they can never see light and shine. And so our job in this conference is to teach us how to rise and how to shine. Because if you don't rise and shine, darkness will cover your nation and gross darkness the people. If you don't rise and shine, even though your light is come, you will still dwell in darkness. And so it's important for every believer to understand how to rise and how to shine. Because many are not risen. They are aware that light has come and they speak about it, but they've never risen. And so this conference will not just teach you how to rise and shine. It will make you rise and shine. Before I journey a bit further, let me take time to define what darkness is. Because darkness is not just blackout. In the spirit, darkness represents something more vicious than blackout.
You know, this is the first night. That's why I'm taking time to do precept upon precept. A time will come when the energy level will become high. At that time, our goal will not be cognitive interaction. It will be energy to energy. If you can touch the vibration, you enter the frequency. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Because energy is a deeper language than words. You know, if I say come in words, it means come. But if I say come in energy, it means many things. Come in form of energy can mean you are in trouble. Because when you sense the energy that goes with the word, you will perceive that if I define this thing by dictionary, I'm in trouble. Come can also mean run for your life. Come can also mean repent now before you are killed. Because energy has many tributaries. So when we teach and teach and teach, and we get to a point where it becomes too deep to communicate, we will switch into energy. So that the things you cannot hear cognitively, you will interact with it as a body or spirit. Energy, energy. Somebody will understand the language of energy in the course of this conference. Well, let's try again. Darkness. You know, the reason people never make progress in spiritual things is because most times they judge spiritual things based on the peripheral definition that natural things give to them. And so when somebody hears darkness in the natural, he's just thinking it's a state of blackout, gloominess, where you can't see well. But darkness in the spirit is deeper than that. When you begin to study the scriptures, the first thing you will discover about darkness is that darkness are spirits. Because when a man comes into a place, he leaves his environment and enters a new environment. For example, I was in a hotel. I left that room, I've come into another room. Everything about that room, I left it there. A spirit does not operate like that. When a spirit is moving, a spirit travels with its environment. That's how spirits operate. They travel, they carry their atmosphere, they carry their environment with them. So a spirit and its atmosphere are the same. That's how God was able to live as existence before creation. Hope you know that God was existing because his existence, even before he started creating, before he created the heavens and the earth, he was. The question is, where was he? Because he started creation some point in a reference that is in him. But before he began to create things, where was he living? He was living in God. Because the spirit and his environment are the same. Are you following this? The Bible said, God is light. And the Bible also came to make us understand. If you read John, 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, it said, God is light. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 16, they say God dwells in light, unapproachable. That means light dwells in light. That is how God was able to be before creation became. Because he was before creation was. And the reason it is so big is because it is in the nature of spirit to carry the atmosphere. So when you come to a spirit, that spirit is also the dwelling place of that spirit. And so when we are talking about atmosphere, darkness in the spirit, we are referring first of all to the spirits that operate in darkness, because that atmosphere is their reality. In Psalm 74 verse 20, it says, have respect unto the covenant. It said, the dark places of the earth, they are the habitations of cruelty. So cruel spirit dwells in cruelty. Dark spirit dwells in darkness. And so when we are talking darkness, make no mistakes to think it is a state where you can't see properly. Darkness is beyond it. They are personalities. Personalities that are into exacting wickedness, evil, and cruelty. So the first definition of darkness is cruelty. So when the Bible says, arise, shine, what the Bible was talking about is exercise dominion over demonic spirits. Christ shine means dominate demonic spirits and exercise rulership and government over them. And so if you are not able to dominate spirits, then you have not yet arisen. That's why Jesus said, in my name, cast out devils. What he was saying was, in my name, bully demons. In my name, oppress demons. In my name, the word is cast out. I'm not doing nomenclature tonight. Would have studied the essence of that word. So you know what Jesus meant when he said cast out. It means oppress and dominate spirits. That means a man who has arisen above darkness is a man who exercises authority over darkness. And so in this conference, when we say arise, shine, the idea is not to bring you into a euphoria that you attended the conference. The idea is to usher you into a realm of authority where the proof and justification is that you now rule over demons. It's important for you to note that any Christianity that does not bring you into authority is religion. No matter the rituals and the oblations, and no matter how long you have been in it, because the idea of Christianity is not rituals and it's not activity. The idea of Christianity is a people that mirror divinity. Christianity is a gateway through which God can be seen among them. And the way God is revealed is by power. Because the first revelation of God we saw in the Bible was not wisdom, it was power. It said, in the beginning, Elohim created. The word Elohim means almighty. So the first revelation of God is power. And so you are not a Christian until you are able to showcase God as power. Without power, at best, you are a theologian. You see, if you are a theologian, you cannot do anything about darkness. And so what you are saying is very true. It is only a man who can produce and bring power that has risen above darkness. And such a man is the hope of a generation. Hope, I'm taking it gradual enough. So darkness are demonic spirits. The second thing about darkness are the works of demonic spirits. The works. So when you see darkness, the way you see it is by the activities that plague the people that are in darkness. And in scripture, darkness is summarized. The operations of darkness is summarized into three. Number one is sin. And so when the people are in darkness, because when I said power, somebody was excited. Because they thought power is just, get out, come in. No, that's not just the idea. Because power is in different dimensions. Because the operations of darkness are also in different dimensions. And so the first thing you will see about the works of darkness is sin. And so we came to realize that there are many prophets who are fornicators. We came to realize that there are many apostles who are liars. We came to realize that there are many evangelists who are hirelings. Because darkness has dominated them in form of sin. Their preaching is excellent to hear. They have a lot of charisma tied to what they are doing. But when you probe into their private life, you will discover they don't have authority to bring witness to the enemy at the gate. The reason is because the operations of darkness are mirrored in form of sin. And so a man who has arisen and a man who is shining is a man who exercises dominion over sin and iniquity. And so no matter the title you have and no matter the level of popularity you have amassed, if you are still a slave of sin, it means you are under the power of darkness. The devil will have more harvest in your life than God will have. This is why you come into certain settings, you will hear that the choir director has slept with 40 people. You will hear that the pastor in charge has fornicated with every sister in the church. Meanwhile, they are clapping hands every Sunday. That place is a brothel. In the natural, they call it church, but in the spirit, they call it a club. Because the real activity going on, the spirit that they are worshiping, they know. Because worship is not just a song. Worship is your lifestyle. And if you are fornicating, you are worshiping the spirit of immorality much more than God of heaven, no matter how good your voice is. Because if it is voice God is looking for, One angel can beat all of this choir. One. If one angel sings here, it can resonate through the whole of Sierra Leone. If they bring their equipment to you, they are not mundane like this. You see a harp. If an angel carries a harp, one harp can have 27 strings. Meanwhile, our best guitar only has 6 strings. To show you how backward we are when it comes to inventions and technologies in the spirit, we are still behind. Hope you know that earth is the youngest of God's creation. God created everything. Earth is the last thing God created. And men are also the last things, beings God created. There are some angels in the spirit that, as we are talking now, are called elders. Imagine, a spirit does not have chronological age. If a spirit is now called an elder, you should understand that what they are saying is depth in light. And so if it is about spiritual invention, we have not started, we are kindergartens. Because an angel can come here, you carry a guitar and you are dragging with it. When an angel wants to play a guitar, he can wave his shoulders, and then you will see that the strings are wired into him. He is the guitar. He is the guitar. So he can be playing and stringing at the same time. And when he's stringing, he's not only producing melody. That sound can activate you. Because when angels sing, they impart. Their songs are impartations of the energies of God. And so when an angel is singing, that angel can open your eyes into the prophetic realm. Because his song is not about a good voice. His song is about the mysteries and the dimensions that is opening through sound. Because sound is a vehicle in the spirit. And so when a generation rises, one of the ways you know is that they exercise dominion over sin. Because the first work of darkness is sin and iniquity. We will deal with that one tomorrow, because that one will require energy. English language does not deal with sin. It's definition of terms, don't worry. The second operation of darkness is sickness. Sickness and poverty. A state of depravity. And so when you come amongst us, you will still find many people who are dependent, who are helpless as touching their needs, very legal needs. People die because of 1 cent. I'm not talking $1. People die because of 1 cent. Some people die because they can't afford one meal in a day. Some even die because they lack good water. That's the level of wickedness that the devil marshal on humankind. And so when you find that level of depravity in form of poverty and sickness, then you know that the darkness is gross upon the people. And so when a generation is arisen, one of the areas they exercise power is over poverty and sickness. And so when we come into that level of authority, we will not be doing healing service. We will be sending ourselves out to heal the world. Because we now have dominion over sickness. The heritage of the believer is not healing. Healing is necessary because many are yet to come into maturity. The heritage of the believer is divine health. Healing is for the nations. But when people are still children, they may still need healing while they are growing. And so one thing God will do in this conference is that He will not only heal you, He will turn you to the balm in Gilead. Finally, darkness is death. Death. And death in the scripture is not cessation of life. Nobody will end. The reason is because our raw material came from God. So nobody here, everybody here will live forever and ever. Nobody will end. You came from God, so you can't end. God is endless. The raw material for making man is from God. So no man will come to an end. The problem is where you will continue after you leave this body. Because when you leave this body, you will continue. Because what you call death is actually transit. You were traveling in your mortal body. Now you need to travel in your celestial body. It's because you left men in this body. That's why they are crying that you are dead. Those who live in both realms know that you are still actively alive. You just change your suitcases. Because if I want to go to the moon now, I will need to change my suit. I can't wear this to the moon. I will wear something else that is friendly to that atmosphere. And when I'm leaving the moon, I will take off that jacket and come back to my normal jacket. So when a man is leaving the earth, he will have to pull this jacket and dump it and wear another jacket. So nobody will end. The problem is, when you transit, where do you transit to? Because death is actually separation from God and corruption. And so what happens to those who are not in Christ is that when they depart from this body, they will no longer have a place in Christ. Because what you wear in eternity is glory. It's either you wear glory or you wear shame. But glory is only available with Christ. So those who are in Christ, when they depart from this body, Christ will give them a new garment called glory. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, we have another tabernacle that is in heaven. And he said, for this cause we groan that we may be clothed with our heavenly tabernacle. And he said something. He said, if we are not clothed, we will be ashamed. So there are two garments men we wear in eternity. One is glory, another is shame. The problem is that Jesus is the only one that wears glory in eternity. And so if you die outside of Jesus, you will be left with shame. And shame comes with torment. That body is what the Bible calls death. Death. Death is separation from God and corruption. And many people who are outside of Christ are already separated and they are already degrading in their essence. And so another thing God will do is that he will bring us into the economy of life and immortality that is in Christ Jesus. Listen to the deception that religion brought to humankind. Religion taught humankind that when you die, they will weigh your good and evil. If your good supersedes your evil, then your good will save you. A pastor told his sons not to go to the cinema. And they said, no, they must go to the cinema. He said, no, the movies in the cinema are full of immorality. The son said, no, the immorality is very little. The pastor said, okay, before you go, come home. Let me prepare a meal for you. So they came back to the house, and the pastor gave them some cakes that he baked. And when they collected the cake excitedly to eat, he now told them, please, before you eat, take note that I mixed some cow dung. Cow dung means the excreta of a cow. You see, I took the feces of cow. I mixed a very little portion in the cake. Very little, but it's too small. No, don't worry about it. It's tiny. The children threw the cake away. They said, no, we'll not eat. They said, if you, who is a human being, have enough sense that little portion of cow dung will make you reject cake, what makes you feel God will accept you, even if your evil is little? If you like, let your evil be this tiny, you will go to hell. Any religion that deceives you that God will weigh good and evil, lie to you. Because one iota of evil corrupts every good that you ever did. That's how evil and good exist. They can't coexist together. Little evil defies every good. And so because God knows his standard, that he cannot accommodate even the least of evil, what he did was that he allowed men the opportunity to come into a relationship with a savior that is sent, who is without evil, to win them over. This is what Jesus came to do. Jesus was speaking, himself said in John chapter 6 verse 63, he said, it is the spirit that profit. He said, the flesh profits nothing. That means, in the realm of God, they've judged humanity and they've discovered there's no profit in humanity. Everything you do in yourself has no value except as you first accept the Savior, who is spotless and who is perfect, because it is him God sees before God accepts you. It is after God has accepted you that God can now recognize your labor of transformation to reward you, because there are two kinds of judgment. The first judgment is for condemnation. The second judgment is for reward. The judgment of condemnation will only admit you if you are completely perfect, and nobody can ever attain complete perfection. The only perfect man was Jesus Christ. And so when you accept Christ, what Christ does is that he credits his perfection to you. That is what we call righteousness. He said, for whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. He said, all things are passed away, all things have become new. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said, to him God was in Christ, verse 19, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, but he gave them the word of reconciliation. Why? He said, he made him that was without sin to become sin for us, that we, through his righteousness, can be made the righteousness of God. And so the only remedy to death is to accept Jesus. Because Jesus is the only perfect man that walked through the earth. Every religion accepts that fact. The only deception is that they make you feel that your good will save you. You will be shocked on the last day that if one evil is left in you, that one evil will condemn you. And because we have seen that God will not tolerate evil, the only wise thing we have to do is to accept a savior. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. Because it's only in Christ that you will find eternal rest. Anybody that is not in Christ was deceived. By the time he crosses over this world, he will see that the justice system of heaven has zero level tolerance for evil. So when you receive Christ, and Christ credits his righteousness into you, on the basis of what Christ gives you, you now begin to live out that righteousness. But if you don't have righteousness as your nature, you can never live it out. This is the frustration of the religions of the world. They don't have righteousness as a nature, and they are struggling to live it out. How is it possible? There is no way a baboon can ever live like a man. The baboon can try, but he can never be a man. There are baboons that speak. There are baboons that wear clothing. There are baboons that drive. But all they do does not make men, because men don't marry baboons. Men don't have baboons as their family members, because the nature is first of all wrong. This is what iniquity has done to the human race. It corrupted our nature. And so the first thing God did to remedy our nature was to put his own nature in us. So when we accept Christ, we accept the nature of God. And on the strength of that nature, we can now begin to live out the life of God. And as we live it out, gradually we now grow into perfection. My son was born with my nature. He looks like me because he carries my DNA. Now he's learning how to walk. He will stand, he will fall, but one day he must walk, because he's already in his nature. He's learning how to talk. He will say things that don't make sense, but one day he will say something that will make sense. Not because I'm trying so hard to help him. It is in his nature. He can fall 100 times, but one day he must stand. Because it's in my nature to stand, he must stand. He's trying to talk, it doesn't make sense, but one day he must talk, because it's in my nature to talk. If he didn't have my nature, even if I tried, it would have been impossible. And so all the religions of the world, they lie to humankind. Because if the nature of God is not put in you, there's no way you can live like God. Your best will still not be enough. And so what God did was that God became man, so that man can become God. God took upon himself flesh, so that man can take upon himself the spirit of God. God walked in our midst, so that we can walk with God, so that the death that man suffered can be removed. This is why Paul was teaching. He said, because we have borne the image of the fallen man, let us also bear the image of the heavenly man. He said, for the first Adam was of the earth, so he was eaten. He said, but the last Adam was the Lord from heaven. He said, the first Adam was a living soul, but the last Adam was a life-giving spirit. He said, having borne the image of the first Adam, we should also bear the image of the second Adam. And so when you walk out of your house now, your glory is not in your name. Your glory is not in your complexion. Your glory is not in what you wear. Your glory is Christ in you, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. This is the foundation of Christianity. And until Christ becomes our consciousness, until Christ becomes our hope, we can never rise and shine. Until Christ becomes the signature of our existence, we can never rise and shine. This This is what the world is trying to corrupt. The world will tell you it's your hairstyle that beautifies you. The world will tell you it's by bobbing your eyelashes that you are glorious. The world will tell you it's by being naked that you are glorious. The world will tell you it's by lying that you are glorious. But we know better. We will dress well, we will look well, but we know our glory is not in earthen vessel. We know that our glory is in Him that dwells on our inside. And so when I go out, I don't need to bob my eyelashes. I don't need to talk like the world system. I don't need to behave like the world system, because I am the glory that the world is looking for. The reason is because the only way the world will see Christ is to see me. Because when they see me, they've seen Him. Just the way they've seen Christ, they've seen the Father. If they see me, they've seen Christ. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Ah, hey, 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 yeah. Ah, ah, yeah. Oh, ah, hey, 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 hey. So the first way to arise, the first way to shine, is to accept Christ and make Christ your consciousness. And how can you accept Christ? He said, if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and you confess with your mouth, He said, you shall be saved. Please, brothers and sisters, make no mistakes about it. Your good works will not save you. Your good works are designed to give you reward after you have accepted Christ. If you have not accepted Christ, both you and your good works will be condemned, because you have to be adopted by God before you can begin to talk about reward. You can't talk. Rewards are not for strangers. Heritage is not for strangers. It's for sons. Nobody gives heritage to strangers. No matter how well behaved a stranger is, a stranger is a stranger. Only a son can come into the house and take heritage. And so until you receive Christ, you can't come into the house of God. You can't come into the cities of Elohim. It is in Christ that you come into God. And it's after you come into God that you can talk about reward. This is where the religions of the world got it wrong. How can you even believe a religion that doesn't know what happens after death? But here was Jesus, that before He died, He said, I will be buried. He said, 3 days later, I will rise again. And Jesus went to the grave. He rested there for 3 days. And while He was there, He said, the devil came to Him, thinking that He was vulnerable. And in Hades, Jesus rose up and He said, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And on the third day, hear this, on the third day, the Bible said, Mary Magdalene and the three women went to the grave in hopelessness, thinking that Jesus was still sleeping. And suddenly, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Suddenly, they saw that the napkin was well arranged. And while they were troubled, wishing to cry, they say a man stood before them in shiny robes. And when they looked at him, they were afraid. And they thought it was the gardener. And while Mary wanted to touch him, he said, touch me not. Because the one who is now risen is the hope of humankind. Did you read what happened? Mary looked at him and said, where is my Lord? And immediately said, Mary. When he said Mary, the glory that he rose from the grave with echoed in her spirit. And when she turned, she said, Rabboni. And immediately she wanted to grab him and say, wait, I have not gone to the Father. But here is the good news. He was not just going to his Father anymore. He said, I'm going to my Father and your Father. My God and your God. Go and tell Peter. Can you imagine? Because before that time, Jesus was the only Son of God. The Bible said that He gave His only begotten Son. But after He rose from the dead, He was no longer the only begotten Son. Anyone who accepts Him now becomes the child of God. He says, so I'm going to my Father and to your Father. My God and to your God. Now that He has become your Father, you can now talk about reward in eternity. Melekadona farakate. Baradiata de datanash. How can you rise in a dark world? You want to do good when the prince of immorality is the lord of your life. You want to do good when the prince of corruption is the lord of your life. How can you do good when your God is violence?
You slaughter people, you behead people conscienselessly, and you say you can do good. How can you do good by wrecking mayhem and havoc on humanity? There's no good in you, because the only one that is good is God. And until God comes into you, there can be no good found in you. Brothers and sisters, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And so the first way to arise is by receiving Christ and sustaining Christ as your eternal consciousness. When you receive Christ, you now draw your strength from Christ. You draw your hope from Christ. You draw your glory from Christ. That's when your life begins to change. And you now begin to see the futility of darkness. Because you have become one with the light. And he said the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. I'm not afraid of sickness. I'm not afraid of poverty. I'm not afraid of death. Because in me is life and immortality. In me is light. So when darkness comes my way, it becomes an opportunity to shine. What do you think a testimony is? A testimony is a verdict of our dominion over darkness. And so the guy is supposed to die of cancer. You say, no, cancer, go back. You call it a testimony. Everything you call a testimony is a hurdle that we jumped over because of what we carry. I prophesy over someone tonight. You will walk in light all the days of your life. Belakios. Ah! This is what the men of old knew. They knew that there's no glory in man, that the glory is in God. And so every one of them began to seek God. Because when you apprehend God, you apprehend glory. And when you apprehend glory, glory becomes the definition of your being. A generation is rising that will be known in the order of the Christ. A generation is rising that will not be known after the flesh, but after the spirit that gives immortality. The first way to rise is to accept Christ and to live with his consciousness. The second way to arise, to shine, is to walk in light. Light. Because light is the oppressor of darkness. Light is the victory over darkness. Light is the authority over darkness. If you've not touched light, you are still in darkness. He said the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. And so when we meet a man who rules over darkness, we don't judge him based on his complexion. We don't judge him based on where he comes from. We judge him based on how much light he carries. Because the moment you receive light, you receive dominion. The proof that a man has light is authority. It's not even sight. The proof that you have light is authority. Because the purpose of light is to defy darkness. And darkness is an authority. And so when you gain light, you gain superior authority. And when you study the scripture, you will find out that every man that glorified God because of power. Without power, our God will be obscured. Without power, our God will become a story. When you talk to the people, they want to see the God you are talking about. And when they ask you, who is your God? They are not looking for English language. When they ask you, who is your God? They are looking for answer to the problem they cannot solve. Because they've tried solving that problem. They've routed that problem through many means. It's not possible. If you say you have a God that is all sufficiency, prove him by solving the problem. And this is why, if you study the scripture, from Abraham to date, it was always about power. Abraham dwelt in the hall of the Chaldees. They worshipped astrologers and demonic gods in the spirit. Until the real God appeared to Abraham. And he said, get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy kindred. Get thee out of thy father's house. Come to the land that I will show you. In blessings I will bless you. And out of thee shall the nations of the earth be blessed. The way God proved himself to Abraham was by power. I'm not telling you to worship a God that will tell you story. You are one man, I will make you a nation. Today, is Abraham a nation or not? The Muslims claim him for their father. The Jews claim him for their father. The Christians claim him for their father. There is no country you go to in this world today that you cannot find the blueprint of Abraham. Because an all-powerful God revealed himself to Abraham in the dimensions and in the similitude of power. In fact, when God wanted to show Abraham that his walk with him was not a waste, the Isaac that Abraham depended on his life, he said, go and kill him. But at that point, Abraham knew this God of power already. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible said, Abraham said, God is able to raise him back in the figure. Because he has known that this God is not a talker. He has known that this God is a God of power. This God is not somebody just creating illusions. This God is a God that reveals himself by power. And Abraham was not the only man. Moses, the Bible said, was in the wilderness and God appeared to him. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I know you won't understand me. The way I want to reveal myself to you is to send you back to the king that you dread. You ran away from Pharaoh. Go back to Pharaoh. And Moses said, how can I do that? Pharaoh is the sun god, the god of Egypt. They called him the sun god. The stature that Pharaoh had was so intense that men called Pharaoh God. How can I go back? Moses ran away for his life before Pharaoh. But when the God of power shows up, he wants to show you that thing you call a challenge is the basis for which he will glorify himself. He said, go back to Pharaoh. And Moses said, how shall I go? He said, drop your sword. Drop your staff. That's how God introduces himself. And Moses dropped his staff. It became a serpent. He said, carry it by the tail. He carried it. It became a staff. He said, put your hand in your bow. He put his hand. He brought it out. He became leprous. He said, put it back. The hand became normal. He said, the water you have, pour it on the ground. He poured it and it became blood. He said, now go to Pharaoh. Moses shut up because he had seen power. And when Moses came to Pharaoh, Pharaoh didn't argue with him. He said, the God of the Hebrew has sent me to you. He said, let my people go that they may serve me. Pharaoh said, who is your God? Now Moses understood the language of power. He knew when Pharaoh asked that question, Pharaoh was not looking for explanation. And Moses dropped his sword, his staff. And his staff became a serpent. The wise men of Pharaoh dropped their staff. Their staff too became a serpent. But the serpent of Moses swallowed the serpent of Pharaoh. Somebody tell somebody, power past power. You have not arisen until you have known power. Christianity is not talk, it's power. Daniel and his friends were in a nation where a king called himself a god. Everybody dreaded him until a point come, the madness of the king became so much that he built an image of himself for people to worship him. And Daniel and his friends said, no, we will not. The king called for them. Are you not afraid? How dare you defy the king? How dare you? And they said, oh king, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. When it has to do with the rankings of God, we know there is only one true God. On this matter, we will not be afraid of you. We will not bow. And the king said, make the fire 7 times hotter than it was. And they did it. The Bible said the man that threw them into the fire burnt them off. While they were thrown into the fire, suddenly the God of power showed up and he turned that fire to an air-conditioned system. Can I explain something to you? Fire represents different things in different realms. In hell, fire torments. On earth, fire burns. But in the realm of God, fire purifies. Fire does not burn in the realm of God. Higher. And so what God did, hear this. This is what God did. He entered the fire with them. And the fire that should have burned them began to purify them. And they started worshipping God. It was the king that saw first. And said, who is the fourth man in the fire? Without being told, when you see fire, you will know God. He said, that one looks like the son of the highest. Nobody introduced God to him. He knew him by power. He knew him by power. I prophesy over somebody. They will know your God by power. Another king rose up and he thought what they told him about Daniel was a fairy tale. He thought they were drunk and they brought that story. And the point came. They said nobody should pray. And Daniel said, no, not me. And Daniel did not hide to pray. He opened his window and he was praying facing Jerusalem, because that's where the monument of his God dwells. And they went to tell the king that Daniel is praying. And when he called the king, he called Daniel. He said, the way we will prove whether you are right in disobeying me is to test my power. And they threw Daniel to a lion's den. The Bible said, when they threw Daniel there, they thought the lion would eat him up, because there was a record that was already on ground. But Daniel was there, relaxing and sleeping. The next day, early in the morning, the Bible said the king ran there and said, oh, Daniel, has your God spared your life? And Daniel responded, oh, king, live forever. The God that I serve, he has bound the teeth of the lions, and they are not able to hurt me. Immediately, the king did not need a Bible school. He said, bring Daniel out. The men that accused him, he threw them. The Bible said, before they touched the ground, the lions tore them apart. That means the lions did not spare Daniel because they were not hungry. They spared Daniel because of power. And that power is superior to a Bible school. That power converted the king. Because when power shows up, the real God is identified. The reason we argue who is the true God is because power is absent. When power comes, the real God will be known. I decree over you, the church of Sierra Leone is becoming the church of power. This is not an Old Testament tale. The Bible spoke concerning Peter. It said in Acts chapter 5 verse 15. It said when Peter went to the place of prayer, his glory was not tongues. It said when Peter walked out of the place of prayer, they placed those who were sick on the road that the shadow of Peter may touch them. Peter didn't need to say the name of Jesus. Peter didn't need to lay hands on the people. The shadow of Peter carried sufficient power to cast out devils and to heal the sick. And everybody that the shadow of Peter touched became healed. And it didn't stop Peter. They invited Paul for a meeting. And Paul said, sorry, I'm busy. Take my handkerchief. Imagine if I sent my handkerchief to Sierra Leone. Take my handkerchief. And they carried Paul's handkerchief, rode on camels, and went to where demons were, where the sick were, and they dropped Paul's handkerchief. And handkerchief was casting out devils. Handkerchiefs were healing the sick. And they thought it was a fluke. And some boys went to imitate Paul. They were called the sons of Sceva. And the demons themselves began to introduce Paul. He said, Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you? The way you are known is not by introducing yourself with English. It's by introducing yourself with power. Christianity is not English. It's not tales. It's a move of power. When we say, arise, shine, we are telling you to wear your garment of power. Because every one of us who is born again, there's a garment of power we carry. And there are four of them. I give you quickly. Number one is called the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hepa, Belakados, Feriga, Patekavaya, Dededali, Sagante, Karis, Elaladia. The first power you wear is the garment of the anointing. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. With power. Who went about doing good, setting free all that were oppressed of the devil. Every believer here carries a measure of the Holy Spirit. And so your true garment in the Spirit is the measure of the anointing that you carry. In Isaiah 10:27, it said the yoke shall be lifted from your shoulders. It said the burden shall be broken because of the anointing. And here is what the word of God said. It said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it said they gathered together in one accord, and suddenly they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And it said there dwelt upon them cloven tongues as of fire, and the Holy Ghost rested upon them. And Jesus said it was not only for the apostles. He said they that believe out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. And he said he was speaking about the Holy Ghost. And so everyone that believes here, there is a garment you carry. It's a river flowing from your bowels. It's called the river of the Spirit. And that river, the Bible said, flows from the throne of God. And it maketh glad the cities of God. And because it flows from the throne of God, the dominion of God is upon him. I speak over somebody here tonight. Every anointing that is dormant on your life, I command it to be activated now. Do you know how much anointing is here? All of us here carry the Holy Ghost. That means all of us came with an anointing. There's something called the corporate unction. It said, behold how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. It's like the oil flowing from the head of Aaron to its beard, down to its skirt. There the Lord commanded his blessing. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, whatever they bind on earth is bound in heaven. This corporate anointing is sufficient to open the heaven. I decree over you, every dimension of the anointing that you carry that is dormant, I decree they are activated now. I was telling Pastor Idris, I said, no, it's not about calling an apostle from Nigeria. I'm making it look as if he's a superstar. I said, from this conference, many apostles will rise. Many prophets will rise. Many evangelists will rise. And you will set up Sierra Leone on fire. You will set the nation on fire for Jesus. I decree over you now, the anointing dormant on your life is quickened in the name of Jesus. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost? Pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. I'm sensing a stirring already. Belalaso, Atetayana, Variara, Bararas, Jacques de Dac, Jacques de Dac, Ore de Paris. Aye, aye, aye. Oh, aye. 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 Aye, 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 God, I'm seeing something like ointment being poured on the head of some persons here. I'm seeing young people come under the anointing, a strange dimension of the anointing, for the workings of miracles. And so right now, by the Spirit, everyone with that ordination, receive that anointing now. Take the anointing. Velako Sateka. Help them, help them, help them. It's a river. Ah! 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 It's a violent anointing. In the name of Jesus, a generation cannot arise except as the anointing in their spirit is activated. They say you have an unction from the Holy Ghost. Every one of us here carry an unction. Some of you is in the form of wisdom. Some of you is in the form of miracle working power. The devil is struggling to keep it congealed. I speak by the Holy Ghost. The fire that stirs the anointing. The fire that stirs the anointing. The fire that stirs the anointing. Rest upon you now. There are three more things I would have touched, but we are out of time. Because the second weapon that lights bring to you after the anointing is the power of the word. It said in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, it said all things are sustained by the word of his power. The power. All things were made by the word. Without him was not anything made that was made. In Hebrews 1 verse 1 to 3, it said God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. He said, but at these last days, he has spoken to us by his word, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, sustaining all things by the word of his power. When light comes, the word is speaking. And that word, the Bible calls it the sword of the spirit. The sword, that's the sword with which you hack down darkness. I decree over you, the word of God comes alive in your spirit. The third thing that causes a generation to arise is prayer. Oh my God. It's a you dearly beloved, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It said as Jesus prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. It said his raiment began to glister. It said as Peter, James and John were coming to the place of prayer, they saw a man that was impotent in his feet, and he looked upon them to receive something. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have faith. I come to pray. He says, I give unto you in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God. He says, rise up and walk. As they came out from the same place of prayer, he said, they put the cripples, they put the sick, that the shadow of Peter may touch them. I decree over you the power to stand in prayer, the power to intercede. Receive that power now. Hear this. We are out of time. As we worship God and sing now, sicknesses will begin to leave people. High blood pressures, growth in the body, arthritis pains, ear conditions, eye conditions, short-sightedness, long-sightedness, cataract, glaucoma, all of them will begin to leave people's body now. Are you ready to dance and praise God? Give me that song one more time. Aliyah, hey, hey, Aliyah, hey, hey. Couldn't do before, begin to do it. Hear this. Nobody's praying for the sick here. As you mingle with this energy and this truth, you'll be shocked that deaf ears will begin to open. Eye conditions will be healed. Pains will begin to go. Anything you couldn't do before, as we honor the Lord now, begin to do it. And if you notice a change on your body, begin to run out here. Don't wait for people to call you. Are you ready to take your healing? Are you ready? Are you ready? Aliyah. Hey. If you notice you are able to do what you couldn't do, come here. Give the Lord a shout. The Lord is talking to me already. Hear this. Hear this. He said on this row, close to that camera there, there's somebody that has something, a challenge with the heart. I don't know if it's a pain of some sort, but I just saw a quick vision, quickly, close to the camera on this middle row. That guy standing there. There's a heart condition that has been touched. If you're the one, please come. I'm seeing that brother. Thank God for you, but I'm seeing that brother directly by that camera. Please come. Now, check your body. Check your body. I don't want to pray yet. I want you to understand these truths. So when you go home and you are worshiping God in your room, you are not dancing because you are excited. You are generating power. 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 Check your bodies. You couldn't lift your hands. Help mama, help mama. You couldn't lift your hands. You couldn't walk. There was pain in your body. Check now. You discover they are gone. You couldn't see correctly. You couldn't hear well. Something has happened to you. Can you come to the front now? Can you begin to come to the front celebrating? Before I make declaration, if you have noticed the change, meanwhile, those of you who are yet to receive, stretch, lift up your hands now. Lift up your hands now. I told you we are not praying. Every eye condition is healed in the name of Jesus. Every ear condition is healed in the name of Jesus. Every pain in the body is commanded to go in the name of Jesus. Every blood infection is healed in the name of Jesus. Every organ infection is healed in the name of Jesus. If you couldn't walk, stand up. This is your time. Begin to walk now. If you couldn't walk, you couldn't lift your hands. There was a challenge with your bones or something. Lift that hand quickly. Lift that hand. You'll discover you have been healed. There was a pain in your body. Turn it. You'll discover it's gone. You couldn't see where you are using glasses. Take it up. You discover you have been healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and check.
Yes, sir.
Now. What happened to him?
Since 2019. He was feeling something in the heart. As if in a declaration, he just felt something came together like this.
Your heart, something was.
Since 2019.
What was the condition?
He was feeling the heart. There was a problem in the heart.
In the heart. Yes. But at the instance of the word, you discover there's a change.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. In the darkness, that is who you are. We make a miracle worker, promise keeper. Light in the darkness, that is who
We're out of time. I want to coordinate things here quickly. If you have noticed the change, can you wave at me? If you have noticed the change already on your body, can you turn back and see the hands? Come on. Wait, drop your hands. Not everybody. If you have noticed a healing already on your body, you've noticed a healing, can you wave at me? Can you look at the hands behind? Give the Lord a shout! We can't take all the healings, but I love to mock the devil. When God touch people, I want the whole world to see and celebrate it. Because you are now the proof that what we said is not a lecture. And so those of you who waved your hand, can you please come to the front? Quickly, 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 quickly. We make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. We make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. We make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. We make a miracle walker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. You are here, touching every life. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. We make a miracle walker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Look at the people the Lord has touched already. Can somebody give the Lord a shout? We can't take all. But can we just hear three or four testimonies quickly?
Yes, Apostle.
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. This man had a hearing condition for about how many months? 3 years.
3 years, your left ear. What was the challenge?
You should hear a tingling sound.
Can you give him the mic? Let's hear what he's saying. You used the broom. It started in your ears. That's where the challenge started from.
Yes, sir. So since that, I don't use earphone. Because
you don't use earphone with this ear because you can't hear with it.
So what happened now?
You can hear now.
You can hear with that ear now. Give the Lord a shout! Yeah.
Also, she had a hearing condition and she's here tonight.
What was the problem and for how long? You can just say it for them quickly so we don't hear too much.
This year, our hair was almost not hearing for 3 years now.
3 years.
And suddenly when the word came, the ear popped open.
The ear popped open.
Yes.
Is this how you celebrate Jesus in Freetown?
With a challenge on her knees, sir.
Just a moment. Who is the praise leader here? So we celebrate miracles. When you hear a miracle, you give us a praise song, right? Are you energetic? Let me hear what happened.
She came in with a challenge in her knees. She couldn't walk properly.
She couldn't walk properly.
Because her knees were hurting. As you can see, she's already... The pain has gone at the instance of the word, the power of
and
God
the anointing is still upon her. Take fresh measures, Mama. Apostle. Give the Lord a shout.
Apostle.
What happened?
She lost her menstrual cycle for 7 months.
7 months? You've not seen your menstrual cycle.
Right now, the menstrual cycle is flowing.
The blood started flowing now.
Right.
Are you just looking like that?
Oh, God is good.
My God is good, yo.
Hey,
my God is good, yo. Can you imagine? 7 months. She's not had her menstrual cycle. And right here in this service, the blood started flowing. And you are just looking like that. What happened?
There's a miracle here, sir.
Talk to me.
Our sister came in with a breast condition that lasted for 2 months.
A breast condition? What was it? Is it a pain or a lump? She had a lump in her breast for 2 months. What happened now?
Now it has been blasted out at the instance of the world.
Somebody give the Lord a shout. A lump, hear this. A lump in the breast suddenly just disappeared. And maybe you can cure lumps. That's why you are just looking like that. Right. Give the Lord a shout. Hey, hey, hey. What happened?
She came in with ulcer pain that has lasted since 2016.
Ulcer pain since 2016.
But at the instance of the word, it has gone back to hell.
You are God. You are not just people. You are not just large. You are the great God. You are God. You are God. Talk to me. What happened? With what?
Severe rashes on her skin.
I didn't hear that.
Yes, sir. Severe rashes on her skin.
You had rashes on your skin.
That is almost causing blisters. That's lasted for 3 months.
Rashes on your skin. You keep itching. For months. How many months?
3 months.
What happened now?
At the instance of the word, the rashes have jetted back to her.
Hey, 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 Hosanna. Loda bire o alagbara bire do la loda bire o alagbara. What happened?
Yes, sir. This young man over 3 years ago was injected with needle.
You were wrongly injected with needle.
And the needle went through his vein.
The needle went through your vein.
Since then, he couldn't move the legs.
You couldn't move that leg?
Yes.
The leg was paralyzed. Let me hear him.
This joint has a problem. Back then it was from 2012.
From 2012?
2012.
So you couldn't move this leg?
To raise it like this.
You couldn't move it?
Yes, to raise it like this. To raise it like this.
But now you can. Because of the injection. And you are just looking. Give Jesus the praise. What happened? Sierra Leone, Jesus is touching people. Is this how you celebrate miracles? Give the Lord a shout. What happened?
For 3 years, you could not fold your hands like this.
You couldn't fold your hands?
Yes.
What happened? Why?
But suddenly when the word was spoken,
strength,
she just discovered she can fold her hand.
You couldn't
fold her hand. So that's it.
My God.
For 3 years you could not do this, sir.
Who has the final say? Who has the final say? Jehovah turned my life around. He turned my life around. He makes a way where there is no way. Jehovah.
There's a miracle here, sir.
What happened?
It says some time ago his backbone was marked. I think some form of in a dream his bone was marked. Some marks across just as back. He said for long he couldn't admit as bent.
He couldn't bend.
He couldn't bend.
What happened now?
Wait, but now he can come.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Come and see what the Lord has done.
What happened? We are rounding up.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me.
Our sister here couldn't see with the left eye.
You couldn't see with your left eye.
Am I right?
What
for 8 months, you couldn't see clearly at all. For 8 months.
And the eyes are swollen.
Yes, sir.
And you couldn't see with it. For 8 months. For 8 months, you couldn't see clearly. Why is this swollen? You couldn't do that before. For 8 months. You couldn't even open. But now. And you can open.
He has done for me. He has done for me. He has done for me.
How many of you? How many of you had eye conditions? Is there any other person who had an eye condition? You had an eye condition. What was the problem?
I was feeling my eyes over a month now. At night, what happened? Now I'm seeing clearly.
Now you're seeing clearly.
She couldn't see clearly.
Over a month now.
Over a month. Can you stretch your hands and pray for these people? We can't take all the testimonies. You write it so we'll celebrate Jesus for you. Is that okay? Mama, what happened to you? Find out from Mama. Give her the microphone. She can express herself.
From 2015, now this 1 week passed for me. One day, when I was driving, I could go through it. She's speaking in English. I don't go for it.
She's speaking Creole.
Okay, hear what she's saying and tell me.
She says she's feeling that pain. In 2015, she went to pray in her daughter's house.
Yes.
And suddenly she had an attack on one part of her face.
On a part of her face since 2015.
Yeah, and she started experiencing pain on that part. Since then, she could not sleep at night. She couldn't sleep at all.
What happened now?
What happened?
I didn't say to her about
you still feel the pain?
I feel a panic.
You were feeling the pain
of the world, the pain disappeared, sir.
Praise God. Now, can you lift your hands toward heaven? Can you lift your hands and honor the Lord? Tonight is just an introductory night. Tomorrow morning, I'll do some teachings, very deep teachings. I'll be talking for at least 2 hours. So we'll do the discipleship part tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow evening, we have a service, because it will be a night of fire tomorrow evening. But tonight, when I was coming for this meeting, like I mentioned, God told me He will raise people from this land. I shared with him, and he's going to be ministering at some point in the conference, and I told him, listen, it's not just about inviting people to come preach. Even from among you, God is raising apostles. Because what God is doing is global. There are mighty apostles rising in Ghana, in Kenya, in Cameroon, and across Africa. Because it's our inheritance to take the last day gospel to the ends of the earth. And Sierra Leone is not exempted. So God is raising from among you mighty people. You may not look like it. In fact, Mary asked the question, he said, how shall these things be? And the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. He said, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. That's when something is formed on your inside. Can you lift your hands 1 minute and say, Lord, the portion that you made available for tonight, I receive mine. If you say that, just be quiet. The Lord will touch 12 of you as a sign. It's the number of government. As a sign that He has answered your prayer
and that as you walk out of here, you will come under a strange anointing and operation of the Holy Ghost. Ushers, help me bring those 12 now. There are 12 of them. 12. 12. 12. 12.
Message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.